Our guest first is the new leader of the National Party, Todd Muller, following a swiftly executed coup that saw outgoing leader Simon Bridges. Aware of a looming challenge, call the caucus together on Friday for a leadership vote he then lost. It came after two polls last week that saw National trailing Labour by around 25 percentage points. And in the second, the Colmar-Brunton poll last Thursday, National was dipping into the 20s. Todd Muller, 51, a student politician turned staffer in the office of the then Prime Minister Jim Bolger, went on to hold management's positions at Zespri and in Fonterra. He won the Bay of Plenty seat and entered Parliament in 2014 and has no ministerial experience. He's been the party's spokesman on climate change and then agriculture, and is one of four potential contenders spoken of over the last year as possible challengers to Simon Bridges. Mr. Muller's deputy is the more experienced Auckland Central MP and former ACC and Associate Education Minister Nikki Kaye, who replaces Paula Bennett as deputy leader of the National Party. Todd Muller, good morning.
Good morning, Catherine, and how are you?
I'm really well. I felt the earthquake, and there's been a political one in your party. You've gone from number 16 in caucus to number one. Why did you make your move last week?
I think we had got to the point that we needed to have a reset in terms of how we communicate our vision and economic recovery plan to the country. It was my assessment that New Zealanders had to some extent stopped listening, Catherine, and it was important to test that with the caucus, which of course we did, and we walked out of that room particularly focused on the job ahead. We've got 120 days to go, so we've got a very clear job and the team's very focused on doing it.
116, I think it is. You better have a count.
You
don't want to be late for that day.
The weekend's been a blur.
I bet it has. How long have you been planning this move?
Oh, look, in terms of crystallising a view that I would definitely put my hand up only in the last week. Of course, you have have conversations with others around where we're travelling. I mean, we're a political party. You know, you're constantly looking at how well you're doing in terms of crafting your message, being very clear around what you think the policy prescription should be, and then how your messages connecting with New Zealand. And we were clearly having some challenges with respect to the third element of that.
How long have you been having serious conversations about a tilt at the leadership?
In terms of my specific focus on tilting at the leadership, probably in the last week or so.
You see, that's not very encouraging when you're asking to be Prime Minister in 4 months' time, is it? So, look, for how long have you considered yourself and positioned yourself as a replacement for Simon Bridges? Were the caucus to reach that decision?
Well, I think that's a different question, right? Because you asked when I had a view that I needed to put myself forward as a leader to challenge Simon. In terms of how I have evolved as a person over the last 20 years, from the time when I was a staffer at Jim Bolger's office through to the 51-year-old I am now, that's a function of all the experience that I've had both in corporate life, at Zespri, very senior roles in Fonterra, and, of course, the roles that I've had here in climate change and more recently agriculture. I mean, you are the sum of your parts, right? You're the sum of your
lived experience. But I asked you how long you had been having conversations with people about you being a potential replacement for Simon Bridges as a leader. How long has that been happening?
In terms of my engagement with the caucus, I've been having those conversations over the last week or so. And I, I think, I think that's,
let me put it this way. Your name and the name of others, Mark Mitchell, Judith Collins and others in the latest iteration, has been around for some weeks, if not some months. Would you agree that you've had it on your mind and you've been talking to colleagues about being a potential contender at least for the last several months, at least?
In terms of should the opportunity present itself, yes. Okay. But the question that you posed originally was the extent to which when in the last little time I decided, yes, it is now, I'm going to put myself forward as a leader. And for me, that really was in the last week or so, because, I mean, you know, we've gone through this extraordinary period of the COVID health response. There was very little sense of what the sentiment was during that period towards the National Party and its direction and leadership. Very little a sense of how that was progressing. And then, of course, we had a couple of polls in quick order, as you know, Catherine, that sort of crystallised the sense that actually we were had reached the point where it would make sense for us to reconsider who we had as leader
All
and
right.
deputy.
See, 3 months ago, you were tied up in the same poll, the three news poll. You were tied up and there had been praise for National maintaining its level of support this far into a first term. That doesn't often happen. So was what happened last week fatal to National's chances or opportunistic to those who wanted the top job?
Well, I think what it is a clear signal that there is a significant portion of New Zealand who will look to National to provide an alternative vision and plan to this government. You're quite right. It was only not many months ago when we were basically neck and neck. And of course, quite a lot's happened in that time. And understandably, the focus has been on the health response. I'm very sure, Catherine, that over the next few weeks or so, the focus is going to become very much on who has the best economic recovery plan for me and my family, who gives me the confidence around job security. And I have every confidence that as that debate unfolds and as the people of New Zealand reflect on who has got the best plan, the national support will rise. Because it's one thing to lock down a country. It's quite another to have the skills to rebuild it. And the National Party is packed full of people who have those skills.
Yes, but why should people believe you have them over a leader they did know? And yes, the personal ratings would undoubtedly not have helped Mr. Bridges. But what makes you think that people are going to have more confidence in you as a leader? What's your case?
Well, I'm a person who has had huge experience in the commercial world. I am someone who has a great love of this country and connection with people and their stories. I have a great privilege of leading a party of 55 MPs who are quite remarkable in terms of their lived experience, Catherine. They come from communities around New Zealand and in most cases come from communities that are really struggling in terms of the economic impact of this COVID impact. And I will ultimately the test as to whether people look at me and look at Nikki and beside us, the team that we have in this great party and the plan that we put in place, that will be that the people will have a look at that and make their own assessment of the capability. But I feel very confident that I've got the experience and the team around me to deliver.
Well, less than 4 months to convince everyone of that. You've promised a change in style. You won't criticise the government for criticism's sake. What does that actually mean?
Well, I think it is always dependent on the issue and the context. I think you would understand that, and you've seen that sometimes in opposition politics in particular, you can get caught into a mode where everything needs to be shouted down, everything needs to be opposed, because you get caught in this view that the only thing you can do to add value is to be oppositional.
Was that what happened?
Well, I think people will hold that view of him, and some will also hold the view that, you know, he was fine. I mean, ultimately, who you are as a person, who you are as in terms of personality and how you engage with people, that's that you are just the sum of your personality and your engagements and experience.
So
he had a particular style and I have a, you know, slightly different one.
If you won't criticise for criticism's sake, let's look at what an opposition leader's position might be on these things. Would you have done the health response to the pandemic exactly the same? Same lockdown, extent of lockdown, length of lockdown, all the same?
I'm not going to criticise the Prime Minister's response.
No. I asked you, because you want to be Prime Minister now, I asked you, would you have done it the same?
Well, you can't answer that question. Firstly, it's a hypothetical. Secondly, if you were there, you would be given the same briefings and the same information under the same time pressure as the Prime Minister was. The idea that I could tell you that in that position I would do exactly the same sequence of actions based on the same judgments, of course I wouldn't. I'm a different person to her. But I believe that, you know, collectively over the last 8 to 10 weeks, we have done well as a country. And I think we need to acknowledge that and not be afraid of acknowledging it. And so as part of that acknowledgement, the government's role in that needs to be stated.
All right.
But the opposition had a significant role, Catherine, in terms of keep testing the thinking of the government. And the people of New Zealand had probably the most significant in terms of what they were willing to give up in terms of freedom and economic prosperity to achieve this outcome. So I think it's important as a leader of the opposition and a prospective Prime Minister that you can signal that you've got the capacity to see to react to what's put in front of you and bring the right judgment.
Okay, so what you've said in response to that is, I would have I would have taken the advice and made my decision. That's what we get from that. Okay. You are making the case that National would be a better government for an economic situation the country is facing. Why would people shift from a government that you acknowledged has competently managed what has happened to date to one with a new leader? What's the grounds of this case that National will be superior for this phase?
Well, two things. Firstly, the response to the pandemic was of clearly a once in a lifetime event, where all of the apparatus of the government was turned to focus on one single objective, which was to close the borders, close down the economy, put most of our people into their homes, and seek to ride out a brutal pandemic. That was the singular focus. And as you know, my view is that is relatively easy when you have a singular focus of the whole of government to lock down a country. It is a fundamentally different question to then apply all of the resources of government in partnership with the private sector to be able to rebuild the country in a way that enhances communities, enhances jobs and security. And I have a very strong view that the National Party team and the capability that sits in my caucus...
Mr. Muller, you've never been a cabinet minister. You've never sat around a cabinet table. So the assumption that people will have more confidence in the party you lead in the greatest economic challenge this country has faced for decades needs more than just an assertion.
Well, you will see it far more than an assertion as we deliver our comprehensive economic plan for recovery. And when you look at the people that I have around me on the front bench and wider over the course of my announcement today, Catherine, this government, in my view, and I've said it before, have a handful of top performers and a significant number of ministers who have failed at their jobs. Most of this government's rhetoric has not been matched by delivery across a raft of their key areas that they wanted to focus on, from housing to transport to corrections to poverty. You go through the list. They have yep. particularly good at communicating ambition, very poor at delivery.
Well,
and I have a party that is packed full of people who are, I think, actually
extraordinary
talented.
Again, your finance minister has never served in a cabinet. So you keep asserting this, and you will, and that's fine. And it will be tested during an election campaign. But let's look at some things that we can talk about that surely you have a view on. Of the economic response of the government, would you have done the wage subsidy or not?
Yes, and we signalled that at the time, that we thought the wage subsidy as one of the mechanisms to be able to support business in the short to medium term was the right one. But now we are quickly moving to a stage that we need a whole lot more comprehensive response in terms of an economic plan than what appears to us as a haphazard a series of huge cash investments with no coherence and no a view around how this will impact the enduring capacity of small businesses in particular and our communities to be able to pick themselves up off the canvas.
All right. Would you have increased borrowing on the scale the government is budgeting to increase it?
I think the key question there is, should the government be signalling that they need to spend to support business in the wider community? The National Party view is absolutely yes. Now, our challenge to them is to stand up in a budget and say, here is our expected deficits over the next 3 to 4 years. Included in that, by the way, is a $20 billion fund that we intend to lean on over the next 3 months. We can't give you any specificity around where it's going to be spent. No rigor, no probity.
Yep.
And I look at that.
Again, the question to you was, would National have increased net debt by $140 billion more, net debt set to reach 53% of GDP by 2023 at its peak, would you have had a budget with the same scale of borrowing?
We would have had a significant scale of borrowing. I don't think we can sit here right now and be definitive over what that scale of borrowing is going to look like over the medium term. But I can tell you what we do have a very clear view on is that spending needs to be incredibly precise. It needs to be very focused on what the output is for that spending. We are a party that totally sees the need for spending to be focused and actually enabling the support that the community is crying out for.
Whether it can be focused 8 weeks after a lockdown when the budget was held is another question. What I'm trying to understand is your approach to the biggest economic crisis we have faced in decades, in modern times, in fact. Would it be to borrow in order to provide stimulus to the economy on a similar scale or not?
From my perspective, I think the size of the borrowing, whilst important, is not as critical as the nature of the spend and what you actually get from the spend and whether it is disciplined and actually you're getting the outcome that you're expecting. Like I say, I am not criticising the government for their health response to date. I think their economic response is haphazard. They've just signalling huge lift in future debt. And on the back of a record in government that when they have spent, they have not delivered against their objectives.
So would it have been less huge? Just to get clear, I hear what you're saying on the specificity. One wonders whether specificity is realistic or even practical, as we said, within weeks of the pandemic happening and the lockdown happening and the economy effectively falling off a cliff. One wonders what specificity would be realistic. But are you signalling you would have borrowed less? You would have had a tighter purse had you been delivering a budget, your finance minister delivering a budget, just a couple of weeks ago?
No, I can't say that, right? Because we're sitting from the opposition side and we get given a very high-level budget which talks to an extraordinary amount of debt being accrued over the next few years and a particularly large $20 billion contingency in the short term. We are not afraid of debt. We don't think that debt should be spurned because it's somehow wrong for the country at this time. What we're asking for is a discipline around being clear as to where the money is going to be spent, what your expected outcomes are for families and jobs and communities in this country. And if you have transparency on that strategy, then I think you give people confidence that you have actually got a plan that delivers. But this government never does this. It talks in high-end rhetoric, and when and most of the time, Catherine, its delivery has fallen well short of the promises that is made on a raft of areas over the last 3 years.
If this hangs then on your presumed superiority as economic planners and managers, could you give us some indication of what that plan is going to look like?
We're still working through it, right? And I don't think that is particularly unusual. Every household, every community organisation, every body in this country coming out of COVID-19 are looking at what this new emerging world means for their priorities and their their particular activity. In our case, what is our policies that need to be tweaked? We had this huge policy machine that were in the middle of and actually near concluding our priority policies for 2020. It makes sense that we are reassessing that in the context of the situation that we find ourselves in. And you can be absolutely assured, and New Zealand can be absolutely assured, that we will have the most comprehensive economic recovery plan that means something for those small businesses that I see when I walk down the main street of Papamoa and go into the industrial park.
How many of them told you the wage subsidy saved their business?
A number of them said it was helpful. But they are absolutely bluntly being smashed because that is one element of their costs which had some subsidy from the government. Helpful, yes, but even a wage subsidy, whilst helpful, is very, very difficult to support a business
again,
that has
no
revenue.
What else would you have done? Would you have forced rent reductions? Would you have offered a rent subsidy? What else would you have done to their fixed costs?
Well, I think there are many other elements that that could have been looked at, and we signalled that at the time. And we also signalled that we thought that our GST cash refund policy would have put cash in their hands right now. And, of course, we've announced our view around 100% depreciation for new capital expenditure. Okay. You've got to walk into, but this is a really important point.
Yep.
For us to be able to rebuild the country, our 500,000 small businesses need the confidence they have that there is a government in charge that actually understands the nature of their business, how they have built it to the point that they have, what risks that they have endured, how do they set it up, What is the various components that we could put in place to assist them?
It's the trust us, we know what we're doing, we're national line. And we're going to hear it over and over and over again, aren't we? Can I just two seconds, Catherine?
Yep. Yes, but it will be buttressed by a full comprehensive economic recovery plan. Now, I appreciate, because I can't present that to you today, because I've been in the job for 72 hours, there is an element of trust. But we have a record here as a national government going over many, many decades that we are the party that people turn to because we are the party that understands how to rebuild an economy.
You've just repeated my point. We're national, trust us, we know what we're doing. What's your view generally on tax? I know these are exceptional times again, and there is a push for stimulus on any front at the moment. That can carry it does carry costs for the government's books. And it can carry them two ways. It can carry them in the form of direct government expenditure and subsidy, and it can carry them in the form of a reduced tax take. Is your instinct towards tax cuts in the circumstances we're in, even if it adds to the government's pressures?
Look, my instinct is absolutely towards not significant tax rises, because we proved in the response to the GFC, Catherine, that actually you can come back from eye-watering deficits once you get the economy growing and people start having confidence to invest. Then you can actually recover the government's books without lifting taxes.
You can, so I don't think you but need does that to, require but, keeping a tight hold on expenditure in areas where perhaps a tight hold on expenditure might have been revealed during this pandemic? Is your instinct going to be, not austerity, but a fairly tight management of the books, even if that means tight management of health and education spending, etc.?
Well, I think you should always have fiscal discipline, but we're in a remarkable time, right? And I do not believe that austerity is the pathway forward here. Sensible management of the fiscal situation you find yourself, absolutely. But this is when it comes down to being very clear around the components of a recovery. What is the best way to ensure that we recover in our communities over the next 3 to 5 years? And we will have a plan that is very comprehensive that talks to that. And I appreciate people are wanting to see that. But we're 117 days out from the election. And in the foreseeable future, you'll see elements of that being presented. And it's well underway as we speak.
Your shadow cabinet, Paul Goldsmith, you intimated would stay. He was a Bridges loyalist, quite upfront about that. Does he stay beyond the election? Is he your finance minister in government?
That's absolutely my intention. He is our finance spokesperson, and he will be a very good finance minister should we win.
Health spokesman actually, Michael Woodhouse, does he stay in his role?
Look, you'll hear my new refreshed lineup shortly. I have an announcement this afternoon, Catherine, and I will announce it there.
Would it be sensible for someone who's been your health spokesman and has done the work during a pandemic to stay in the role? Or is this a position like all the others that may reflect who your supporters were?
Look, a couple of points. Firstly, the full team will be announced in a few hours, so obviously you could understand me waiting to then. But I'm sure that when you see that, you will see that I have focused on the team that I believe that is necessary to pull together the recovery plan that we need for this country. And I am motivated on ensuring that we have the right people doing that. I am certainly not motivated by imagining in my mind who supported who and specifically trying to make that painful for people.
Couple of points. I know I need you to go. I just want to speak to you. A couple of points that are important. You also intimated there could be a shift in position on New Zealand First and whether National would work with it, would form a government with it after the election. You need to clarify that.
I've been very clear. Our caucus position is that we won't be dealing with New Zealand First. That's the caucus position.
Does it remain the position?
It does.
Does it remain the position to the election?
If there is any change in that position, Catherine, I'll tell you.
Well, that suggests there might be.
No, it suggests that if there's any change, I'll tell you. I mean, our current caucus position is that. That wouldn't be part of any consideration from our part. Look, my focus in the last 72 hours has been Talking to 100 of these interviews for a start, but also
this is what you do when you want to be made a prime minister in 4 months. There's no honeymoon, Mr. Miller. On the question of New Zealand First, you are 25 points behind in these polls, 25 points behind Labour. To have any prospect of forming a government after the election, you're going to need a partner, aren't you?
Well, I think MMPs always demonstrated that partners are important.
So then how can you rule out New Zealand First and expect that, people to credibly see you getting over the line by September?
And like I say, our this issue is pretty clear. We can keep repeating it. Our caucus position is clear that we're not working for New Zealand First. And there's always the second bit that I always follow up with, and as if that changes, I'll report back.
You're not working for New Zealand First, but it is possible that the voters of New Zealand might like to know what their options are, their realistic options for the makeup of a government, including whether National has a chance. And that clarity is deserved by the electorate, particularly in these circumstances, isn't it?
Look, I think that's a very fair question, and that's why I'm very comfortable to say that as we get closer to the election, I will be very clear in terms of our positioning, right? If anything changes, as I've signalled, then obviously that would be the time to make that point. But be very clear that the caucus position currently is no. I've been in this job for 72 hours, and my focus has been building the team to get an economic recovery.
Finally, a lot of people have commented that there is one unforeseen catastrophe, really, affecting world economies at the moment, health, but also world economies at the moment, and that's the pandemic. And that looming behind it is another, which is the financial, as well as the health and others, consequences of climate change. You worked on that zero carbon bill with Jane Shaw and bringing National to the table. What is your position now? What will be National's position on climate policy?
Well, we have always signalled that climate change is important, and it is something that we have to grapple with as a country, as 180 other countries have to grapple with, made even more difficult because, as you say, Catherine, those 180 other economies have been devastated by the pandemic. But it doesn't mean that the challenge with respect to climate change and identifying a pathway to decarbonise your economy should suddenly be shunted to the very last priority on the list. I disagree with that. I believe that part of the New Zealand strength and part of the New Zealand story over the next 10, 20, 30 years will be how we can imagine that we can move to a more decarbonised future whilst protecting our economy. And I've got some very strong views around how that can be done.
It would be good to see those clearly articulated in policy ahead of the election, and we will look forward to it. Thank you very much for making time for us this morning. Todd Muller is the new leader of the National Party.